WMAL News at 7. Good morning, I'm Steve Burns. Our first measurable snow this winter's on the way, but only for some of us. Inside the Beltway, we're looking at 1 to 3 inches coming between now and mid-afternoon, just a coating as you get farther north and west of the city, but more coming to the south and east of the city, says National Weather Service meteorologist Andrew Snyder.
To the south and east, you'll quickly increase 2 to 4 inches through Prince George's County, for example, and then once you get down to southern Maryland, we're looking at 4 to 6 inches.
Temperatures are only going into the mid-20s today, making it harder for road treatments to work, so stay aware. We'll check the full WMAL Weather Channel forecast coming up. Across the south, this storm's dumping snow on places that rarely see it, across Alabama, Georgia, and the Carolinas.
We're in a full-on winter storm. In fact, Norfolk has a blizzard warning as we speak, so they're going to expect upwards of a foot of snowfall before it's all said and done. We've got another 8 to 12 hours of snowfall across this region.
Meteorologist Eric Van Dam. If you're looking to stay off the roads and take Metro this weekend, be aware some stations between Roslyn and McPherson Square are closed.
Trains are running every 20 minutes on the orange and blue lines between Roslyn and McPherson Square this weekend. The Foggy Bottom and Farragut West stations are closed. Metro spokesman Dan Stessel says.
And the Silver Line gets shortened when we do this, and so those Silver Line trains will run between Wheely, Reston East, and Boston.
This is just regular maintenance, replacing insulators and power cables, and not part of SafeTrack. That will start again sometime next month. Heather Curtis on WMAL and WMAL.com.
Investigators are working the gruesome scene at Fort Lauderdale Airport, where a gunman killed 5 people yesterday. FBI Special Agent in Charge George Pirro.
We have begun the difficult task of processing the crime scene, which will allow us to identify the deceased and making the proper notification to the family members.
We're learning more about the gunman, Esteban Santiago, who came to Florida from Alaska.
Law enforcement officials said Santiago visited an FBI office in Anchorage several months ago. He was accompanied by associates who were concerned because Santiago said he was hearing voices.
Correspondent Rachel Crane says he was checked into a mental health facility and checked out a short time later. He fought in the Iraq War as part of the Puerto Rican National Guard. President-elect Donald Trump is acknowledging cyber attacks are a problem, but isn't directly blaming Russia. Trump got a briefing from intelligence officials on their election hacking report. His reaction was troubling to former CIA Director Leon Panetta.
We're dealing with a very dangerous world. You've got to support the men and women in the intelligence community who are doing this work. These people put their lives on the line in order to gather the intelligence that is essential to give to the president.
Trump says he's ordering a report on preventing cyber attacks to be done in his first 90 days in office. D.C.'s mayor's touting the success of Obamacare in the district, warning House leadership repealing it would cost the city upwards of $600 million. Mayor Muriel Bowser, in a letter to House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, says more than 96% of D.C. residents have health insurance thanks to Obamacare. She's urging Congress not to repeal the law and instead to expand access to affordable health coverage. Checking on sports, the Wizards now up to 9 straight home wins after beating Minnesota last night. The Caps head up to Ottawa to take on the Senators. And the NFL playoffs get underway later on today. Raiders and Texans at 4:30. It's the Lions and Seahawks at 8. We'll check traffic and weather up next.
WMAL invites you to the WMAL Inauguration Celebration, Saturday, January 21st at the Hilton McLean Tyson's Corner. Join Brian Wilson, Larry O'Connor, and Chris Plant for an evening of dinner, drinks, and dancing, all to celebrate America. Your ticket includes past hors d'oeuvres, a 3-course seated dinner, and dancing the night away with live music. Purchase your tickets to WMAL's Inauguration Celebration at WMAL.com/inauguration.
Hiring is the most challenging part of my job. It's really hard. The searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 200-plus job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 200-plus job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/talk. That's ZipRecruiter.com/talk. ZipRecruiter.com/talk.
At 7:05, we head into the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center with Ben Cox.
895 Harbor Tunnel Thruway southbound between US 1 Washington Boulevard and 95. Slow traffic, average speed of 45 miles an hour. Route 50 westbound between Route 295, the Baltimore-Washington Parkway, and South Dakota Avenue. Queuing traffic, average speed of 17. And in Washington, South Capitol Street northbound between Malcolm X Avenue and Firth Sterling Avenue, average speed of 19 miles an hour. And now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
1 to 3 inches of snow coming through early afternoon. More south and east, less north and west. Highs only in the mid-20s today, down to around 15 tonight. Tomorrow looking sunny, highs still only in the mid-20s. Right now, 20 in Dumfries, 19 in Olney, 25 degrees here in D.C. I'm Steve Burns on Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Now, the Saturday morning update. At AM 630.
Thank you for being with us on the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. John Gizzi joins us each week from Newsmax.com. He's the chief political columnist and White House correspondent. John, good morning.
Good morning.
We have been following the story this week of the intel community, the current president, and the president-elect, and their response to the Russian hacking report provided by the intelligence agencies. And at week's end, can you kind of summarize where we are on this? I mean, we had a leak to one of the major news outlets.
Yes.
It's been another week of developments almost minute by minute.
It certainly is, and it's almost like a serial on television with a new episode just about every day. Yesterday, at a press breakfast that I attended, Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman Bob Corker of Tennessee made reference to the fact that one of your colleagues, meaning the roughly 50 of us at the breakfast, is clearly getting information that is going to be in the final report. Senator Corker said he reserved judgment on whether the hacking was truly serious until he would read the final report. But he did know that the language carried in the NBC story came out of that report, which on the inside is putting out information, trying to be a junior Snowden and turn NBC apparently into his own private WikiLeaks. Whether this has any impact on the ongoing story is questionable. Most people who have heard the testimony of Intelligence Chief James Clapper and others have said that they agree that there was very serious hacking. Senator McCain, chairman of the Armed Services Committee, calling it an act of war. The White House subsequently holding back on that. My guess is that we're going to continue to hear more leaks about more involvement and get more comments from both the White House and the man who will soon occupy it. My own thoughts on this, was there hacking? Yes. Is this something the Russians have done for more than a generation, if not for two, and not only in the United States? Friends of mine in France and Germany are already bracing themselves for some heavy Russian involvement via cyberspace in their upcoming elections. Now, as for did this have an impact on the U.S. election, and would voters have chosen Hillary Clinton instead of Donald Trump if the Russians had not paid attention to the race? Highly unlikely. Perhaps that might be just the better tact for Donald Trump instead of trying to deny that there was Russian involvement, that it was there, but it didn't make a bit of difference.
John, another major story this week, of course, the future of Obamacare, the Republican Congress back in session. They're at work on it already at week's end. What does the future look like for Obamacare and its ultimate replacement?
Oh, you would ask me this, Rick, wouldn't you? I spent all day Tuesday watching the 115th Congress take its oath of office and starting work and getting the Republican point of view. And then on Friday at the White House, listening to Press Secretary Josh Earnest, I got the other side of the story from the administration. Look, It seems very clear that the Republicans, with their control over the House and the Senate, are going to repeal the Affordable Care Act, the official name for Obamacare, sometime between January 20th and the beginning of February. It's going to come awfully fast. They want the legislation off the books. Now again, and I pointed this out on earlier programs, because of the way Obamacare was structured when it became the law of the land in 2010 and was upheld, so much is mandated by law, meaning it's going to function and will not stop no matter what Congress will do. One can dry up revenue, but there are still requirements for $116 billion in spending that's just going to go into a dry swamp without the program there. So my guess is that it's much more complicated than one thinks to simply repeal it and not have any existing legislation. Now, I heard Josh Earnest say a few times on Friday that many Americans who never had health care and now do will lose it if the legislation is repealed. There's some disagreement with that on Capitol Hill. Congressman Dave Brad of Virginia, for example, told me that just by repealing the legislation doesn't mean a single person is going to lose his or her health care because they've bought it already, high premiums for the coming year and everything. He believes Republicans have as many, have more than a year to come up with a new plan. And by the way, there are 7 Republican alternative plans there, more market-based and without the mandates that were in Obamacare. Because Republicans haven't united behind any one of them, it's very easy for opponents from Barack Obama on down to say that there is no Republican alternative to the plan. All this is going to be sorted out quite soon, I think.
John, I'm used to reading your work at Newsmax.com.
Thank you.
I'm not used to reading your work in the New York Times, a story that... story you broke that ended up going viral and in the New York Times, that of the discussion of Hillary Clinton possibly running for mayor of New York. Tell us about the story. And, I mean, clearly you vetted it out. What's going on?
Well, I can say this. As a reporter, I protect my sources. And a high-ranking Democratic official, a former elected official in New York City, said that Hillary Clinton has been discussing with trusted advisors and friends a bid for the office of mayor of New York. The mayor is up for election in 2017, and the incumbent, Bill de Blasio, is someone whose poll ratings are, should I say, modest. He's faced all kinds of scandals. He frequently finds himself in court, as he is threatened to burn documents pointing out where illegal immigrants are, fearing that the incoming administration will deport them, and several other figures in New York City, notably Assemblywoman Nicole Malliotakis of Staten Island, are going to court to stop him. This is not someone who has an easy reelection. And Hillary Clinton carried the city with 79% of the vote. I might add that Bill de Blasio, 16 years ago, was the campaign manager in her first winning bid for the Senate from the Empire State. One would think they're pretty close, but not so. Mayor de Blasio waited until her nomination was almost a done deal before endorsing her. And the Clintons certainly remember who was with them early and who came on late. And as one veteran Democratic consultant put it, the Clintons don't forget. Will she run? I don't know. But I'd say it was a story very much in need of reporting and one that will be worth watching. Don't try to call the Clinton Foundation, though. They're not responding to anyone, not this reporter, not even the New York Times.
Fascinating. John Gizzi, you can follow him easily by Googling Gizzi on politics. John, thank you so much.
Pleasure, Rick, and to all my friends. You are my friends. in Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C., and Maryland, stay warm this weekend, okay?
Yeah. Okay, it's 7:15 on the Saturday morning update. You're up early, and you get up early on Saturday mornings for the most part. Well, our president-elect is up already this morning. He's been tweeting, and about 19 minutes ago, his comments on the intelligence community. He said, intelligence stated very strongly there was absolutely no evidence that hacking affected the election results. Voting machines not touched. Then again, back online, 12 minutes ago, Donald Trump. Only reason the hacking of the poorly defended DNC is discussed is that the loss by the Dems was so big that they are totally embarrassed. So he's up this morning along with us. 7:16, we'll look at the snow and the weather right away.
WMAL traffic from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center. Route 50 westbound between New York Avenue and South Dakota Avenue, congestion. Slow going on New York Avenue between Route 295 and South Dakota Avenue. Congestion on 395, the HOV lane, southbound between 495 and 95. And in Lorton on 95, the HOV lane, southbound between 642 and Route 1. And now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
And as we look at the weather for today, we've got snowfall expected in the Washington area. Now, to the west, we're looking at primarily snow flurries out from maybe Chantilly out to the west, Leesburg, Hagerstown, Frederick out that way, flurries. For the immediate Washington area, probably a dusting of an inch, maybe an inch or two. But as you move to the east, when you get east of Waldorf, we could get up to 3 inches of snow. And then down around Leonardtown, Cambridge, Salisbury, predictions as much as 4 to 6 inches of snow down on the eastern shore. So that's what we're looking at snow-wise this morning. It is chilly out there right now. It's 23 degrees, so if you get out there and there's precipitation, it will be freezing right away. For the rest of the day, we're looking for a high temperature only to 26. Overnight tonight, 15 for the low. Tomorrow, sunshine up to 25. Down to 15 again Sunday night. And on Monday, we're looking for sunshine with highs in the 30s. 7:17 right now on WMAL, 23 degrees in Washington. Quick break, and then we'll be talking to Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer.
Why trust the parts pros at Advance Auto? Because if there's one thing they know, it's parts.
Advance Auto Parts and Batteries, this is Nestor. How can I help you?
Lately, when I go to accelerate, my car doesn't have the oomph it used to.
Well, you could try using a fuel system cleaner. That might help.
Is that part of a tune-up?
People like to use it when they do a tune-up.
And what all does a tune-up involve?
Spark plugs, air filter, fuel filter.
Wow, you really know everything. I'm going on a second date tonight. Would you go flowers or chocolates?
Advance Auto Parts. We know everything about auto parts.
Everybody has dreams. Fulfilling career, a happy home, and a checked-off bucket list. A scrapbook filled with memories of a life well-lived. With an affordable quality education from University of Maryland University College, you can turn your dreams into reality. UMUC offers programs for in-demand fields such as business, cybersecurity, IT, healthcare, and more, taught by respected faculty practicing in the field. Online and on-site at more than 20 locations in the D.C. metro area. University of Maryland University College gives you the flexibility your schedule demands while saving you time and money with credits earned from prior college, work, and military experience. For all you want, it has to be UMUC.
This New Year's, make the resolution to earn your degree and build a better future. Our 90-plus programs and specializations can help build the skills and confidence you need to succeed. Spring classes start soon. For a resolution worth keeping, it has to be UMUC. Visit umuc.edu/radio.
Don't wait until spring to replace your roof. Winter is the slowest time of year for roofing companies, and that means you can take advantage of big savings.
For a limited time only, New Look Home Design is offering 0% interest and no payments for a full year, plus 10% off all materials. Have your roof replaced right now before the damage gets more expensive. And don't worry about payments for one full year, plus get 10% off materials. You'll love New Look's incredible shingle selection. And their 13-step process ensures your new roof is installed perfectly. You'll have a project coordinator and an on-site project foreman to answer all your questions. And New Look installs most roofs in just one day. That's right, your new roof in just one day. Rest assured, every step of the way, you'll love what we do for your home. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Call New Look now for 0% interest and no payments for a full year, plus 10% off materials. The number is 800-279-5300. That's 800-279-5300.
Saturday morning update, 7:20. I'm Rick Fowler. Great to have you with us this morning. And we're joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He is the author of Operation Dark Heart, Fox News contributor. And, Tony, we saw you on with Megyn Kelly last night, and I saw you in the monitor this morning, also on Fox and Friends this morning. And, of course, you're talking about the Fort Lauderdale shooting. And, you know, the media reports the story, and, you know, you get the count of the injuries, you get the count of the dead. You get the look at the airport and the chaos that's created, all that. You're a security expert. What do you look at when you look at this story? How do you analyze it?
Well, thanks for having me on, Rick. And you have to look at two primary things. First, does this fit a known or existing pattern of previous attack? I mean, you just start kind of overlaying and thinking about other things. Does this look like something else? And no two instances are exactly alike, but there are elements common. So that's the first thing you do. And secondly, you after you look at that, just for the face of it, you start looking deeper, obviously, as the FBI is doing, is like, hey, did we miss something here? And so in this case, as tragic as it is, I don't think there's much you could have done to prevent it. Regarding just the tactical event, the event of someone pulling something out of their checked luggage and doing something. So that means that if you couldn't do anything tactically, could you have done something strategically? And the answer is, yeah, absolutely. There were a number of, in this case in particular, just what we know so far, there are a number of things in the background of the individual and his actual interface with law enforcement, which should have been huge red flags. And plus, Rick, he apparently was a member of the National Guard, which means that he was in contact with someone who was probably observing his behavior and should have said something. So tactically, not much you could have done. Strategically, yeah, there's a lot of things that should have happened and apparently did not happen in this case. So I think this is another opportunity for people to learn how to, you can't protect everybody, but you've got to start learning how to do things within the context of the system we have.
How do you look at that fine line of, you mentioned behavior,
right?
And he walks into an FBI office,
right.
He talks with the agents, but then he is, my understanding is that he was kind of released with local authorities and then, you know, nothing ever happened. And what is that fine line of sort of your own individual rights that you're not, you know, tracked and monitored and violated, but at the same time, here's somebody that walks into an office, you get him on the radar screen, but then, you know, there's no follow-up to it. How do you define that fine line moving forward in the intelligence community?
Excellent question. I'm a big libertarian. I believe that, you know, you should leave people alone as best you can. And it is a very fine line, but in this case, Rick, I think you have to examine the fact that, as you point out, the guy self-incriminated, if you will, kind of, he went to the FBI. And also, I'm sure we're going to come to find that he had interfaced with his military unit and his family. So what happened is, as far as I'm concerned, the culture of the FBI has been failing us. Let's remember that there's multiple terrorists within the last year that we've all come to find had some level of contact with the FBI, and they blew it. The Orlando shooter, the individual in New Jersey, his father turned him in, who did the bombings in New York City and New Jersey. So, you know, this is what we call a pattern, or in intelligence we call it an indicator. There's something going on here that you're not being able to link. And that means then, Rick, you should have linked him, what he did to his family and to the National Guard. No one took it upon themselves. Nobody in any culture took it upon themselves to talk to others. That's what you need to do. You need to pick up the phone and call the National Guard and just saying, hey, have you seen this too? And then you both go to the family and saying, hey, is there something wrong here? And this is what apparently failed to happen. There was a complete lack of essentially networking the issue. And if you just keep these little pieces unto themselves, you don't get the big picture, you don't, you know, again, as we've always talked about, put the pieces together, then you end up with a tragic event like this, which goes to my original point, Rick, of us talking. The strategic piece of this failed. The tactical piece, there's not much you could have done, but at the strategic piece where the pieces were out there and nobody linked them, this comes back to a lack of cultural awareness of actually doing something. And frankly, you know, the FBI has been had a pattern of failure, as far as I'm concerned, regarding this issue.
So the shooting at the airport brings up the whole discussion of public area versus secure area.
Right.
The TSA was pretty quick to point out, this was a public area. This was not under our jurisdiction. So here we have a soft target. What happens next in terms of the analysis with, you know, all of the authorities are going to analyze this. They're going to study it. They'll make recommendations.
Right.
What happens in the future at airports?
Well, in any public area where you have a mass number of people moving, and I mentioned last time the Kelly file, and we talked a little bit off air on this, and I can't go into specifics, but you need to look at red teaming. You need to look at known vulnerabilities. A major institution here in the D.C. area had me do a red team walkthrough with them recently for me to identify some of their vulnerabilities. So you got to do it. You got to just have people like me who are essentially can put ourselves in the shoes of a terrorist and walk through. It's like, this is what I see. This is what I would do. You can't do everything, but there's some things you can do. And then secondly, because you cannot secure areas like that, and TSA's first point out, hey, it's not our responsibility. I got it. You should arm then members of the public who should be able at will to carry weapons. Former members of the military, retired federal officers like myself, we should be armed. You know, and I've often used this metaphor. You know, I was in combat and with a loaded, M11 on my hip, belly button to belly button with John McCain. I've asked John himself, I said, John, is there any difference between me now meeting you here in the United States and the guy that met you in Afghanistan? None. So it's completely insane that people like myself and others who are qualified to carry weapons can't have weapons to actually do something in a situation like that. And I'm arguing you should have more guns with good guys rather than allowing bad guys to dominate those unprotected spaces. So those are the two things I think you need to do. You need to look at, you know, the red team issue, do the red teaming, have people walk through, look at the vulnerabilities so you at least can identify them, and then have more good guys with guns as a potential at least foiler. You can't stop everything, but you can limit the damage when something like that happens.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and tell us your Twitter address, because we can keep up with you there. Because, I mean, you've got very interesting information, very interesting perspectives coming out on this. And you know, a lot of the other national security stories out there. So the Twitter account for you is?
Yes, it's T-Spooky, each with the T spelled out, T-Spooky spelled out with underscores between each letter. And then you can just, you know, look for me, Tony Schaefer. And then I'm on Facebook as Anthony Schaefer as well. So, and I try to get information out as it happens, tweet out my interviews and other things going on. So thanks for letting me put that out.
Absolutely. Great information. Tony Schaefer, thanks so much.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. We're at 7:28 now on the Saturday Morning Update.
Do you hear from your financial advisor only when they want to sell you something? Or do you have an ongoing relationship with the people working on your portfolio? Hi, this is Greg Smith from the Wise Investor Group. We work with you to make sure that your portfolio remains well-positioned for whatever the future has in store. Call the Wise Investor Group today and let us help you plan your financial future.
Call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed Wise Investor. The Wise Investor Group is affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company.
A pastor's personal journey of hope. Join us for Health, Hope, and Inspiration with Reverend Percy McCray right here this weekend.
Sundays at 6 a.m. on WMAL.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000, $20,000, even $30,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-700-7111. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-700-7111.
That's 1-800-700-7111.
Next, news next on WMAL, and then we're back with Mercedes Schlapp and Jesse Waters from Waters World.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
105.9 FM and AM 630. WMAL Washington. A Cumulus station where Washington comes to talk. News. Now.
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning, I'm Steve Burns. The snow is falling in southern Maryland. That's where we'll see the worst of this storm, up to 5 or 6 inches between now and mid-afternoon. Inside the Beltway, we're looking at 1 to 2 inches less as you get farther north and west of the district. Southeast Virginia and into the Carolinas is getting the brunt of this storm. Blizzard warnings and up to a foot of snow on the way down toward Norfolk. We'll check the full WMAL Weather Channel forecast coming up. Crews searching Lake Erie for a plane that vanished with 6 people on board late last month have made some discoveries.
Divers recovered the cockpit voice recorder, pieces of debris, and possible human remains from an airplane that went missing over Lake Erie shortly after takeoff December 29th. A medical examiner will determine whether the remains found on a seat from the plane are human.
That's correspondent Barbara Cusack. An NFL wild card weekend gets underway today.
There are 2 games each today and tomorrow, starting with the Raiders and Texans at NRG Stadium at 4:30 Eastern Time today. The action concludes this evening with the Seahawks hosting the Lions at CenturyLink Field, game time 8:15 Eastern. Detroit's lost in this round in 7 straight appearances. Seattle is hoping to advance to the Super Bowl for the 3rd time in 4 seasons. Tomorrow, the Dolphins are back in the postseason for the first time since 2008, facing the Steelers at Heinz Field. Then the highlight of the weekend when the Giants return to Lambeau Field to play the Packers. They've met in Green Bay during the playoffs in 2011 and 2007, with New York winning both times. The Giants went on to win the Super Bowl in both cases. I'm Michael Toscano.
In other sports news, the Wizards' home win streak now up to 9. They beat the Timberwolves 112-105. The Caps head up to Ottawa tonight. We'll check traffic and weather up next.
The National Mall, ground zero for American politics.
Our country is going down the toilet really fast because our leaders are refusing to listen to us.
Washington's Mall, WMAL.
I think exactly what the previous caller said.
Where Washington comes to talk.
Hiring is the most challenging part of my job. It's really hard. The searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier.
One click and my job was posted to 200 plus job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I liked them, thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 200-plus job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/talk. That's ZipRecruiter.com/talk. ZipRecruiter.com/talk.
At 7:33, getting the latest from Ben Cox in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
New York Avenue between 295 and South Dakota Avenue. Average speed of about 13 miles an hour. Slow going on 395, the HOV lane between 495 and 95. And in Lorton on 95, the HOV lane again between 642 and Route 1. Slow traffic, average speed of 38 miles an hour. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAO Weather Channel forecast.
1 to 3 inches of snow coming through early afternoon, more south and east, up to about 6 inches less as you get farther north and west. Highs only into the mid-20s today, down to around 15 tonight. Tomorrow, sunny, highs in the mid-20s. We're 24 right now in D.C. I'm Steve Burns on Washington's Mall, WMAL.
If you or someone you love is struggling with an addiction to alcohol or drugs, then you must listen to this message, because there is hope. No matter what substance you or your loved one is coping with, you're just one phone call away from real help. TheAddictionAdvisor.com can make the healing process simple and affordable by connecting you to a fully licensed and experienced facility. Your call will be routed to a representative able to discuss what's right for you or your loved one's personal situation. Don't wait another day. Best of all, most private insurances are accepted. Just call 800-391-5881 today. Our mission is to help you or someone you love begin the healing process and get back a healthy and sober way of life. Your advisor will help you coordinate all the arrangements and answer any questions you have. One phone call is all it takes to get back the life you or your loved one deserves. The call is free. The help is real. Visit TheAddictionAdvisor.com or call 800-391-5881. That's 800-391-5881. 800-391-5881. Again, 800-391-5881.
This is the Saturday Morning Update on 105.9 FM and AM 630. Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Saturday Morning Update, WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. And one of the fun parts about watching the O'Reilly Factor is Waters World. And Waters World is coming to Saturday nights, 8 o'clock on Fox. We are joined by Jesse Waters. Good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Rick. We just had to give the people what they want.
Well, new show debuts tonight, Fox, 8 o'clock. Tell us about what's on tap for tonight.
Well, one of the things you're going to be seeing tonight is, you remember those guys that confronted and harassed Ivanka Trump with her family on the JetBlue flight? Well, we tracked down the main culprit there coming out of his apartment in Brooklyn. So you're going to see that, very confrontational, so he got a little justice. We also have Kellyanne Conway talking about presidential politics, Donald Trump, and we have Corey Lewandowski as well. Talk about some of this Chicago hate crime video situation and just generally Trump derangement syndrome. So we have a fun show on Saturday night, and hopefully everybody tunes in.
You talk about Trump derangement. The many pundits who got it so wrong, the elites, the people inside the Beltway, the people inside the studios, what do they need to learn about what Americans are really thinking out there? Because you're talking to people that the media elites never talk to.
Well, one of the things they need to do is they have to get out of the East Coast. You know, if you're just sitting in a studio in Manhattan or D.C. and pontificating about what the country feels, you're not getting it right. You got to go to these places and get the pulse. You know, one of the things that I'm blessed to be able to do is go to Michigan, go to Ohio and Indiana and Missouri and all these kind of places that everybody refers to as flyover country. And I knew Donald Trump was going to win because I've been to Pennsylvania. I've been to these small towns and I've driven through them and I've seen these mills and these factories and they're dilapidated and people are struggling and nothing looks great. And it's been like that for not just the Obama years, but for the Bush years as well. And I got the sense when you just talk to people and you see the lawn signs and you see the buzz and you hear people come up to you and you say, you know, Trump, Trump, Trump. I'd never heard that with Romney. I heard a little bit with Bush, but you know, the Trump phenomenon was different. There was definitely a pulse of the people that he'd tapped into, you know, the billionaire man of the people, and he got it. And I think being in touch with the folks in those states, that's what really is going to give you a sense of where the country is directing to.
Well, you know, you say he got it, but what about the people getting it? And what I mean by that is, of course, Fox News presents a certain angle on the news that balances the three major broadcast networks and some of the other cable news networks. But you actually talk to the people. I mean, do they see through some of the just, you know, biased coverage that seems to have been so pro-Hillary and anti-Trump?
Yeah, not only do they see through it, they don't watch it. You know, I think we're a little obsessed. We're in our bubble. We have cable on. We have talk radio on, and we're all over Drudge Report all day and Twitter. But a lot of these people have jobs. They have families. They're in their cars running around. You know, maybe they dip in a little bit and see what's going on. But for the most part, they're not dialed in like we are. So they're able to kind of filter out the BS and the baloney, and they know what life is. They know how much money they have or how much money they don't have. They know how much gas prices are. You know, they see fear in people when they go to the airport. And they're just concerned about law and order and safety and good wages. And I think a lot of people miss that in New York and D.C. and Los Angeles.
As you say, you traveled the country. You've, you know, been around different areas, different socioeconomic statuses. What's one or two really lasting impressions? What struck you personally?
You know, I think when I went down to the border towns in Arizona, and you go and you kind of see the wall and you see the fence, and the fence is basically 20 yards this way, 20 yards that way, and then it's just dirt. You can basically walk around it. The border's not secure. There's a lot of drugs trafficked through on the other side. They actually catapult buckets of drugs and across the other side. It's a joke. Everybody knows it. And it's dangerous. And that was one thing that struck me in particular. And then the other thing that strikes me is I remember going through Detroit, and it was like a wasteland. It was like the zombie apocalypse, and it was sad because you have these beautiful homes, stone-built homes with yards, and it's just overgrown. They're run down. Gutters are falling off. The windows are broken. Some of these homes are firebombed out, and it's like Kosovo. It's a third-world country. It shouldn't be United States of America, and it's disturbing because these are Americans. These are your people, and no one likes to see that. So it's kind of a wake-up call when you travel outside like that.
A full hour of Waters World premieres tonight, 8 o'clock on the Fox News Channel. Jesse Waters, thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Rick.
7:40, Saturday morning update on WMAL. Snow around the Washington area. Jeff Marr is with the Weather Channel. Jeff, what's going on out there today? It's kind of backwards. I mean, it's going to be light to the west and heavy to the east this time.
Yeah, it sure is. The farther south and east you get, the heavier the snow gets. We've got a winter weather advisory up around the district and surrounding counties, with probably about an inch to maybe 3 inches as you get down into parts of Charles County and the eastern part of Prince George's County. But Calvert and St. Mary's counties, they are under a winter storm warning with totals up there between 3 to 6 inches. The Delmarva Peninsula, large part of it, may get as much as 7 to 10 inches of snow as we head into this afternoon.
Wow. Now, you're pretty solid on this, right, because the temperatures are well below freezing. So this isn't going to be one of those that we think is going to be a hit and then it doesn't happen. I mean, this one looks pretty confident it's really going to go down this way, right?
Yeah, we're solidly in the cold air mass at our high today, hovering right at the freezing mark. So it's going to be mainly a snow event for us. Now, farther down to the south, as you get it towards portions of North Carolina, they've had some problems with a wintry mix around the Charlotte area. But a lot of snow is going to set up down to our south from Richmond over towards the Norfolk area, where a blizzard warning is in effect. There you will get some heavy snow and also have to contend with some very strong winds as this storm moves by offshore. So that's going to be the worst of the weather the farther south and southeast you get. And over to the east, as we mentioned, the Delmarva getting on that heavy snow as well. Eventually, this heavy snow heads up and covers parts of the Jersey Shore and up towards Long Island and southeastern Connecticut, where they could get as much as 6 to 12 inches.
Wow. Jeff Marr at the Weather Channel, thanks so much.
You got it.
All righty. And for today, we look only for a high temperature 26 or so. And then overnight tonight, down to 15. For tomorrow, sunny, but only up to 25. Down to 15 again Sunday night. And for Monday, we're looking for the high temperature in the sunshine, only up to about 30 or so. So a very chilly weekend. And time for a check of the traffic on WMAL.
WMAL traffic from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center. Route 50 westbound between New York Avenue and South Dakota. Congestion, average speed, 5 miles an hour. Congestion as well on New York Avenue between 295 and South Dakota Avenue. US 17 southbound between Benchmark Road and Tidewater. And on Route 50 between 295 and New York Avenue, stop traffic, average speed of 18 miles per hour. And now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
And as we mentioned, snow all around the Washington area. Light to the west, heavy to the east. Outside in Washington right now, 23 degrees. 7:43, Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is great to have you with us on the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by Mercedes Schlapp, co-founder of Cove Strategies, Fox News contributor, and also contributor at the Washington Times. Mercedes, great to have you with us.
Great to be here.
Headline on your piece on Thursday plays out on Friday. Donald Trump needs to build trust with the Intel pros. And tell us a little bit about your feelings on what he needs to do, and then let's talk about what happened on Friday.
Well, I think there really is a challenge right now where the intelligence community, many of them, and I think you heard James Clapper in the hearing basically saying that concerned about, in other words, not being respected or being criticized for their work. And, you know, we've seen this tension between the Trump administration and Donald Trump himself and the intelligence community on this issue. Now, Sean Spicer came out and talked about, you know, that it's important for Donald Trump to have this quote-unquote healthy skepticism of what this intelligence report was going to be, that was going to be coming out on the Russian hacking and its influence on the election. And it was important for Donald Trump to ask the right questions. And I think that definitely that's a step in the right direction. But I do think that there is this sense, and I'm not only saying from Donald Trump, but I would say even from many Americans out there, that has the intelligence community, have they become a bit politicized? why did they go public with the information of the Russian hacking that President Obama talked about a week before the Electoral College was going to vote on December 19th, and just asking these very important questions, which what should have happened, Rick, was that the Obama administration should have taken action months ago. I mean, you're talking 6 or 7 months ago, if they knew that the Russians were thinking about trying to play a significant role in interfering in our elections. And I think that that's the bigger question to ask, which is, Secretary Kerry couldn't give a good answer on that when he was asked by Jennifer Griffin about that same topic, which is what could have President Obama done to stop this Russian hacking from occurring. And Kerry basically said that he just, quote unquote, Obama just went public with it. But obviously that's just not enough to now, months later, to then come out moments before the Electoral College, they were due to vote, which again, the Democrats could easily use that as an official talking point to try to delegitimize Donald Trump and his presidency.
Well, it's just odd that when you look over the 8 years of the Obama administration, the time that he really took action, not in Syria, not in some of the other hotspots around the world, but when there was a hack of an election that his chosen candidate lost, that seems to be what prompted the action. And maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but it just looks weird.
Right, and I think that's definitely the sentiment from the Trump administration, and even Speaker Ryan coming out and saying, look, the Russians did not change the outcome of this election, and it was a very clear message that they're sending. With that being said, I do believe that there is that tension that exists. Now, Donald Trump was very clear to come out and say, they're fine men and women working in the intelligence community. I appreciate their work. He was very positive about the work that these men and women in the intelligence community are doing out in the field. The question becomes the timing of why they went public, when they went public, and the fact that, obviously shouldn't have been something that they should have managed with talking to President Obama, briefing President-elect Trump at the right time. And obviously the timing situation comes up again because of the fact that it happened during the time the Electoral College the electors were due to vote on December 19th, which I think is what becomes the bigger issue. So there's all these questions, I think, Rick, and not enough answers. And plus, now that we know what we know from the intelligence report, where do we go from here? And I think that for Donald Trump, it's an opportunity for him to work closely with the intelligence community, figure out ways to modernize and be a visionary on fighting these cybersecurity wars, and figuring out how you do stop the Russians, not only the Russians, but the Chinese and other foreign entities from hacking into our systems. It was very fascinating that just on Friday, DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, came out and basically said that our election systems should be handled as critical as part of security to ensure that this does not happen in the future, where, in fact, there could be a greater risk of more hacking from foreign entities.
You know, Director Clapper made an interesting observation in the sense of, it's one thing to express skepticism, it's another thing when it leads to disparagement. And I'm paraphrasing Director Clapper there. But I think sometimes we have to keep it all in context, in that Donald Trump got where he is today all in a China shop. And now he's becoming the president of the United States. And I don't know if he's going to be able to kind of make that transition from the overbearing CEO to maybe using a little more diplomacy when it comes to his 140 characters.
It does. But I also I think it's very important to understand his Twitter psychology, which is that he's basically able to drive a news cycle. He's able to be transparent and direct to the American people. He's able to go around the filter of the press, and he's able to deliver his message in a way that then the media they basically run with it, but then he has his own communications team going out there and further explaining what he meant from from Twitter. So, and I think it's important to understand that Twitter in and of itself is just the, you know, presidents time and time again have used modern forms of technology, whether it was FDR using the radio for the fireside chats, or in the case of now, obviously Donald Trump, who feels very comfortable using Twitter to make announcements and talk about what he's thinking at that moment. And so I think that we all want, there is a sense of when is he going to transition to being quote unquote president? Look, I think Donald Trump is who Donald Trump is. And I think that it's more of a matter of acceptance rather than expecting that he's going to change and become presidential from one day to the next. And I do think that there is a sense of, you know, do you want him to make detailed policy on Twitter? Absolutely not. But is he able to bring up questions on whether it's the issues on the intelligence community, whether it's his negotiations and dealing with corporations on bringing back jobs to America, whether it's telling the Republicans, why are you focusing on ethics reform on first day, you know, back in business when we should be focusing on economic growth? He just keeps bringing up these topics, these issues, which I think for the American people is actually refreshing to know what the president is thinking without all the spin, without all the media spin. And so I think that there is some benefit to it. Again, I don't expect him and I don't want him to be making detailed policy announcements on Twitter. But I do think that there is a purpose and a way, and I go back to my Twitter psychology of being able to send out a very direct message, whether it be to the American people, to the media, or to Congress.
Perfect example to your point, tweet on Friday afternoon, I'm asking the chairs of the House and Senate committees to investigate top secret intelligence shared with NBC prior to me seeing it. Message delivered from President-elect Trump.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting because I came from a White House in, under the Bush years that if you leaked, you wouldn't survive in your job. I mean, it was about being disciplined and about ensuring that you would, that the president's message was, in essence, controlled to a certain extent. And I think for Donald Trump, one of his, the bigger challenges that you're seeing and what we've seen in so many of these government agencies, the intelligence community included, is the fact that you do have those individuals who are quote-unquote sources to the media and who give information when they shouldn't be giving information. And so, you know, I don't believe the House or the Senate will go and investigate NBC, but I do think that it does raise the question of these people are out there providing this intelligence information to the reporters when in essence, really, you know, yes, they can go and do that, but at the same time, it's something that for Donald Trump, he needs to be privy to understanding what the intelligence report has.
Mercedes Schlapp, Fox News contributor and contributor at the Washington Times, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Rick.
7:53, Saturday morning update, WMAL. Snow in the area. We'll give you the latest next.
Wall Street's great at selling you things that Wall Street wants you to buy. Some advisors are really good at selling you products you may not need. At the Wise Investor Group, we're different. We're not salesmen. We're your financial partners with an interest in what's important to you. For wealth management professionals who work with you to plan your future, call the Wise Investor Group today.
Call 866-758-9473 or log on to thewiseinvestorgroup.com and resolve to become a better informed Wise Investor. The Wise Investor Group is affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company.
This year, your house gets decluttered. This year, your two-car garage will, in fact, be able to hold two cars. Your guest room will be able to accommodate a guest, and your junk drawer will become just a plain old drawer. Because this year, you're gonna get organized, and it starts at Lowe's. Right now, Lowe's has great deals on organizational items, like 25% off 18-gallon storage totes. Start getting organized with Lowe's. While supplies last, U.S. only, offer valid through 1-9.
The Washington Camping RV Expo is back in 2017. Discover the best way to hit the road, January 13th through the 15th. Get everything you need for your outdoor adventures. Shop special show pricing on a full lineup of RVs. Find a variety of floor plans to meet every budget and camping style from the nation's top manufacturers. You don't want to miss these deals. Now is the time to buy. And it's only at the Dulles Expo Center. For more information, visit WashingtonRVExpo.com.
Well, as you awake and go out this morning, you will find snow around the Washington area. To the west, we're looking at flurries for the immediate Washington metro area, an inch or two likely. And as you head to the east, you get over in Anne Arundel County over that way, maybe 3 inches or so. Moving further to the east, it gets worse. And when you get out into the Waldorf area over to the eastern shore, it could be getting over 3 inches. And down on the eastern shore itself, they could get anywhere from 3 to 6 inches of snow today. So heavy snow to the east, lighter snow to the west. And we have reports from our colleagues at Rehoboth Beach that they're already up to almost an inch of snow now on the eastern shore, on the beach area there down there. So and reported very slick. And it is slick out because it is 23 degrees in Washington right now, and we are only going to get up to 26 in D.C., down to 15 tonight, so we'll be below freezing now, basically into Monday, freezing temperatures and below. So be very careful if you're out driving or walking this morning. As we wrap up the Saturday morning update, a couple of updates on things going on in the news out there. We were talking about Donald Trump a few minutes ago, and you know, one of his late tweets last night where he talked about, quote, gross negligence by the Democratic National Committee allowed hacking to take place. The Republican National Committee had strong defense. That was Donald Trump last night, and he's followed up on that this morning. Only reason the hacking of the poorly defended DNC is discussed is that the loss by the Dems was so big that they are totally embarrassed. So he is not backing off his stance on the hacking situation so far, at least this morning in a couple of tweets that Donald Trump has done within the last hour. And there's a lot of talk about Obamacare, as you know, and what the Republicans will replace it with, and a lot of debate will be going on that story. But an interesting story out of England that you may not have heard. The British Red Cross says overcrowding in hospital emergency rooms in Britain has become a humanitarian crisis. British Red Cross says it's dispatched volunteers to help patients go home and to free up hospital beds. It claims cuts to social care funding by the Conservative government in the UK means that some patients can't be discharged because there's no support available, puts pressures on the hospitals. Government supporters say the Red Cross is exaggerating the scale of the problem. It's a state-funded service, the National Health Service, and they generally see a surge in demand during the cold winter months. NHS England manages the care in England said today that plans remain in place to deal with additional demands. The state-funded service, which provides free care to all Britons, is both a source of national pride and a political punching bag. So it's happening there as well as here. And thank you for being with us on the Saturday morning update. Much appreciated. Garden Sense coming up after the news at 8.
The National Mall, a place for the country to coalesce. Washington's Mall, WMAL, a place where Washington comes together.
How about that?
105.9 FM and AM 630. Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
America never flies alone. The Air Force Reserve is always there as the country's wingman. We're ready to do the job, to serve when called upon. We move America, taking people and supplies around the world. We build and repair runways to keep our planes flying. We maintain an array of magnificent aircraft, and we routinely perform amazing feats in the sky. We're your neighbors. We live and work in your communities and still hold part-time jobs that keep America strong. We are the Air Force Reserve.
Which do you think is riskier for your pet? Scuba diving? Or squirrel chasing? Riding the rapids? Or drinking from puddles? Twists and turns? Or fleas and ticks? It turns out everyday dangers are what make being a pet risky business. That's why it's important for every pet to receive a risk assessment and wellness exam twice a year. A risk assessment from your veterinary professionals creates a unique risk profile for your dog or cat. Your veterinarian can then develop a disease protection plan for your pet and the disease threats in your area. Best of all, twice a year exams help your veterinarian detect, treat, or prevent health problems before they become serious. serious. So contact your veterinarian today for your pet's wellness exam, because being a pet is risky business. A message from the American Veterinary Medical Association and your local veterinarians.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington.
105.9 FM and AM 630. WMAL Washington. A Cumulus station. Where Washington comes to talk.